Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. As we continue in Titus, we come to a wonderful declaration of the fact that we are God's people, his possession on this earth. This is through the tremendous and complete work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Scripture, this has ever been the heart of God, to have a people unto himself in whom he can open his full heart of love and grace and mercy and glory. In this reality, let us spend a few moments this morning considering the fact of what it means to be called by his name, his chosen people on this earth. This is not new teaching. It is, however, very valuable to consider and to contemplate and to deliberate upon the work of God, no matter how familiar we may believe it to be. Nothing that the hand of God accomplishes is too trivial or too basic in which to give him glory. His work is awesome, and we should always be filled with wonder leading to the praise and adoration of his majesty. As well, there is purpose in the heart of God that we need to regard and that we need to value as we look at what he has done. Nothing is consummated without the very nature and being of God manifest in his work. As his people, we are to be attuned to that which is at the heart of his pleasure in us, his creation. as we read in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." First of all, we are considered to be God's treasured possession. We belong to Him by virtue of the redemptive work of His Son, Jesus Christ. This was in type in the Old Testament through the children of Israel, but now in fullness in Jesus Christ. Exodus 19:5-6a. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Notice that He calls us His own possession among all the peoples. All the earth belongs to Him. There's no question about that. But we are His own possession. This is important because there is nothing created that does not belong to God. All the earth and all it contains is God's to do with as He so deems best and proper, according to His heart's desire. And in the very desire of His heart, He chose from among all the people of the earth us, we who are saved by the death and resurrection of His beloved Son, you and me. We are chosen by God, by no merit in ourselves, but by that which He sees in us in Christ. Chosen by God, as we read in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." He personally chose us unto Himself because that was His good pleasure. By His grace we are saved, through no worthiness of our own. Apart from His grace and mercy, we would be as the rest of the nations, lost and hopeless in our sin and our trespass. God alone knows the reason that we should be the recipient of His oh-so-great love, simply because He chose to love us in Christ unto Himself. And we need to praise Him with hearts that are just overwhelmed in that knowledge, the knowledge that God chose us. In that undeserved and freely given love of God, He has made us exalted above all nations. Deuteronomy 26:18-19. "And the Lord has today declared you to be His people, a treasured possession." Notice, it isn't just that we belong to Him. We are a treasured possession in His heart. "And the Lord has today declared you to be His people, a treasured possession, as He promised you, and that you should keep all His commandments, and that He shall set you high above all nations which He has made, for praise, fame, and honor. and that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as He has spoken. What an honor that God has put upon us. Not for our sake, for His sake. We are a consecrated people in the eyes of God. Consecrated through the cross of Jesus Christ and raised up with Him into glory. That reality of exaltation is not set in us by any measure, but by virtue of our now being the very body of Jesus Christ. His redeemed church. That is where our exaltation lies, in Jesus Christ. In this truth, we have a very great portion given to us by the Lord Himself, as we're promised in 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. He will keep us unto Himself, since He is the one who has made us for His very purposes. There is security. There is rest. There is peace. There is joy in the loving hands of our Lord God Almighty. Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. There is blessing and strength and endurance and comfort in the knowledge that we are His possession, His own people, whom He has chosen unto Himself. Because God chose us, He is the one who will supply all our needs. Not only are we His, chosen by His omniscience, covered by His omnipotence, and living in His omnipresence, but we are guided and directed by His hand. He works and He manifests Himself unto and into us daily, moment by moment. We are not just chosen in Him, but He chooses to live in us, bringing us into a living relationship in which we are manifestly blessed for eternity in His presence. He is always with us. I don't know about you, but that alone brings just thanksgiving to my heart. He is always with us, no matter what. He is always guiding us as His beloved flock. Psalm 78:52-53. But He led forth His own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them safely, so that they did not fear. But the sea engulfed their enemies. And in Psalms 100:3, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. He cares for us, and He watches over us, and He works mightily on our behalf, and He works in us for His purposes. There is a plan that is being carried out, as I alluded to earlier. There is a reason behind all that God is doing. And that fully includes our bringing glory to His name as His people. We are being prepared for a unique service of honor. A preparation is recounted in Luke 1:17. And it is He who will go as a forerunner before Him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of righteousness so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepared for the Lord. So often we look at ourselves and ask what the Lord is preparing us to do. We try to find our place. But that's not what's at stake here. We are being prepared for the Lord, for whatever His purpose is. His handiwork includes all that is necessary in order for His divine intent to be manifested throughout creation. As we read in Acts 15:14 through 18, this was foretold from of old. Simeon has related how God first concerned Himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, "After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by My name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old." This then brings us back to this morning's text, Titus 2:14, "who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." As His purified people, we are to be characterized by a holy zeal unto Him. This is the zeal after the Lord which was glimpsed in certain of the character traits of those men of both the Old and New Testaments. It is zeal after the holiness of God. We see it in Jehu, as recorded in 2 Kings 10:15-17. "Now when he had departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right as my heart is with your heart?' And Jehonadab answered, 'It is.' Jehu said, 'If it is, give me your hand.' And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. And he said, 'Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord.' So he made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah." There was a holy zeal to accomplish all that the Lord had commanded, down to the last man. Nehemiah characterized this zeal and instilled it in the children of Israel as they worked to repair the walls of the city of David. Nehemiah 4:21-23. "So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, 'Let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day.' So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon even to the water. They were constantly prepared to fight for the sake of the Lord's inheritance in the city of Jerusalem. They were continuously on guard in their hearts, in preparation to do battle at an instant's notice. In a different vein, but with a similar heart after the testimony of the Lord, we read of the zeal of the psalmist in Psalms 119, 138 through 140. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. This is the zeal that we should have after the word of God. It matters not whether others approve of it or ridicule it. We zealously hold it reverently in our hearts and in our minds, and we dwell on it in such fervor that it consumes us. We value the Word of God as our single source of sustenance on this earth, and we relish our time of dwelling upon it, and we savor its goodness and its truth. As well, we have a heart of zeal after the testimony of the people of God, as characterized the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 62:1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. There is no way that we can be silent when the testimony of the Lord is at stake. We will do all that the Lord requires of us in order to shout from the rooftops the gloriousness of our Lord and our God. When there is a threat, when there is a conflict, when there is a belittling and a besmirching, we stand at the forefront of the conflict with our hearts open unto God to do all that He requires for the sake of His name and His honor and His glory. The church proclaims with trumpet blasts and with shouts of triumph the name of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, the majesty of our King and our Savior. We are His heralds, announcing to all the earth the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must value that service in honor to God Almighty. We do not proclaim our position. We proclaim Jesus Christ, Him alone in all His holiness and all His glory. Listen to the obedience as demonstrated in the zeal of the man whom Jesus had delivered from the demons. Luke 8:38-39. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Consider this for a moment, how we might have responded. While he wanted to remain with Jesus, he was rather sent home to describe the glory of God that was revealed in the power of the work of Jesus Christ. While desiring to remain with Jesus, the man did as he instructed. And not at all in a sullen, moping fashion, as some of us might have shown if we're not allowed to do what we want. He went proclaiming through the entire city, not just his home, the glory of Jesus Christ. His zeal was such that he did what Jesus told him to do, and he did it with all his heart. Despite wanting to stay with Jesus, Jesus sent him forth, and he went forth victoriously, steadfastly, proclaiming Jesus Christ. As well, we have the report of the zeal of Apollos, as recounted in Acts 18, 24 through 28. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Please notice something very valuable and very wonderful about Apollos' zeal for Christ. We are told that he was very mighty in the Scriptures, and that he accurately taught concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Priscilla and Aquila took him under their tutelage to more accurately explain the way of God, he was willing to learn. He didn't think that he knew it all. He accepted their instruction with the same zeal, and he taught accordingly. He was not too proud to be taught an even greater measure of the truth of Jesus Christ. His zeal was after the increasing depths of Christ, as should be the zeal of all the people of God. We know very much about Jesus Christ. We have been very faithfully taught through the years. But there is more, so much more. And are we as His people open to whatever the Lord still has to teach to us, so that we can more accurately proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord? In closing, we are given the picture of the church, the body of Christ, that fulfills the heart of God's plan and God's purpose in His love. It is the accurate description of what will be true as He writes His law upon our hearts. For that to have its full effect, we must be absolutely aware of His call upon us, His choosing us out from among all the nations for His pleasure and His purpose. Our zeal unto Him must be of such tremendous value in our hearts that we will not accept anything less than the perfection of Jesus Christ being worked livingly as the very fabric of our lives. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So be it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Amen.